Eyes up, Guardians, and welcome to the first episode of A Grimoire, a Destiny podcast. My name is Alex Steele, and I'm with my fellow co-host, Juan.
Hey guys, I'm Juan. We've been playing the game for a long time, and we recently got back into it, and it's incredibly fun. We're enjoying the crap out of it, so...
Yeah, actually, I think they definitely put the aspect of grinding really back into the game, and I love that. Hopefully with this podcast, we can, you know, provide information on lore, raids, and just information that anyone finds useful in the game. Though we might not always be the best source, we want to be a source that you come to. So let's go into Forsaken. Obviously, Forsaken's been out for a week and a half. 2 weeks now, actually. Maybe three?
Three weeks, yeah.
Three, wow. So what race did you choose, and what class? Like, what are you maining right now?
I picked the Hunter. The original Destiny, I went with Warlock, because I like Nova Bomb. But I didn't like the Nova Bomb in Destiny 2, so I ended up going Hunter for the Void Anchor, the arrow. The Tether Shot, yeah. And I kind of stuck with it. I was really annoyed with it at first, because I didn't like the Hunter in the first game. But I came to like it after a bit. But I picked an Awoken, so I'm an Awoken Hunter with the Soul class, or the Soul...
Oh yeah, so yeah, you're meaning right now. You love the freaking Way of the Thousand Cuts.
Oh, like,
I know
so
that
good.
You. Every time we play, you're always on that.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm honestly a Titan, Exo Titan, best race, Exo best class Titan. Obviously, have some hardcore fandom for that right now. I just love all the subclasses. I have yet to unlock my Striker subclass, but I really want that one. But the Commander and then the Maul is just amazing. They're great.
The shield is insane.
Yeah, that's Commander. I absolutely love it. Ugh.
It's...
No, what was that?
No, I was saying the shield has been... I didn't understand what you were saying before, why you wanted it, until the other day when we were running the Nightfall, and you were like, shoot through the shield!
Yeah, the shooting through the shield, like, albeit if you have people that don't shoot through the shield, it's kind of a waste of the super, you know what I mean? But if you do, it provides so much safety and a damage boost, and that's just so useful.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Weapons of Light from D1.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's more useful in the way that you can move around.
Yeah, combine it with the Tether Shot from the Warlock, or the, wow, the Hunter.
Yeah.
And it's how we took down a few bosses in the...
That's how we did that. what is it called? The Epsilon? I can never say the word.
Echelon? Echelon?
The Echelon Protocol. Yeah.
Oh, Escalation Protocol.
Yeah, I can never say that word. It's a hard one for me.
Yeah.
but whatever, you know. So let's talk about that story real quick. I don't want to get, you know, too crazy in depth in it. But what was your favorite boss?
Mine? Probably the Rifleman.
The Rifleman was really cool. I felt like I was really hunting something.
Yeah,
in that
that's
one.
That's why I liked it so much, because it felt like you were hunting. You were both hunting each other, but it wasn't like, oh, it's kind of, you're actually hunting it. It's not really smart. I was bamboozled.
He was definitely a smart bot. You could see some of them were like, eh, but like he was very smart from what you could tell.
I think I blew my super on one of them.
Oh, one of the holograms?
Yeah, I think it was while I was running it with you. I jumped up, I was like, I got him, and I blew my super, and it wasn't him, and I was like,
It was not him. Personally, I really like the Mindbender, but I have a fascination with, like, Hive and Vex, so that the fact that one of them was basically trying to be a Hive Ascendant, and he was, to some extent. He had his own throne world.
Yeah.
And that was... blew my mind. And honestly, looking back at it now that we're in the Dreaming City and all that stuff, that was like a huge like foreshadowing that there was going to be other things besides Taken that had a throne world.
Yep.
Like, let's look at it's a little getting advanced in our whatever we're going into, but it's fine. Mara Sov
has her own throne world, which
she has her own throne world.
You haven't been in it.
I have not. I looked up the lore, but she has her own throne world. She died on purpose to get her own throne world, which is crazy. Because I don't even think in Destiny 1, I thought of people that weren't Hive or Taken having their own throne world.
Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting the fact that it's not... The Ascendant Plane was such like a bizarre place in the first game. It was a place where, you know, these gods...
It's kind of mystery.
Yeah, it was like these place where these Hive gods or like Crota and Oryx could go into, but you had to go through this... this test to prove that you were Ascendant, and so that's the only way you could go in there. And then in this game, you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, that's not
actually,
the
that's
only
really
way to
true.
Do it.
That's actually incredibly true, because in both raids with Crota and Oryx, respectively, you had to prove you were worthy.
Yep.
For Crota, you had to run through and pass, and then you became... Then you died, theoretically, when you died and you had the blah as you woke up and you spawned into his Ascendant world.
Yep.
And Oryx, the same exact thing. While it wasn't the same, it was, you dropped off the balls and you went through the portal.
Yep.
The same thought process. You had to prove you're worthy. And in this one, they're like, no, you don't have to do that anymore. And that's crazy.
Yeah,
like,
there are
they're just
ways.
Changing up the game.
It's pretty cool. And the fact that I like the Taken a lot. Like, the Taken are my favorite. The Taken and the Fallen
are
my
favorite.
Yeah,
the Taken
ones.
Are really cool.
Taken and the Fallen are my favorite one. And now the Scorn, because they're creepy zombie Fallen.
Yeah, the Scorn are weird. Actually, you know what? That makes me think. I know this is going to hurt you because I know how much you loved him. But Cade's dead now. And it shook up the Vanguard in a huge way.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know who is going to replace him in the Vanguard. My personal thought is going to be Hawthorne.
It just makes sense.
I either that or some other hunter. Like maybe Marcus Wren. But he's an up-and-coming hunter.
Yeah.
I really think Soraya, though. I have a huge thing for her. I think she is what a Guardian is, even without having the light.
Especially, if you remember at the end of the actual campaign, the Red War, Zavala's calls her a Guardian. Kind of as
exactly. Like that's a foreshadowing, if it really happens.
Whether she gets a ghost or not, she still survived on her own without the light.
Yeah.
Forever.
She truly embodies a hunter in my eyes.
Yeah.
And I guess, like you talked about, Zavala. I think Zavala, this entire story... Okay, I'm a huge Titan, guys. I love Titans and everything about the Titans. Like, Saint Florentine is my favorite lore character. But Zavala has receded, and he's afraid. He truthfully is afraid of everything going on lately. I think he still is struggling with the fact that he lost the light originally.
He's almost... It's not... paranoia. That's not the right word. He's really scared.
He's secluded right now. He's trying to shelter himself, but he's trying to shelter the entire city and not have us look out. And that's not the right thing, I think, to do.
Like, when Cade falls, he was completely against you even.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to avenge him.
Yeah, definitely. And then, if we look at Ikora, on the other hand, I think she knows that while we have to defend the city, sometimes we have to step out and stop them from coming to us in the first place, which is a very interesting thought process. Because then we're attackers, and, let's not think about it that level, but, it's something different. And I don't know if you've been by Ikora lately and heard this voice line, but she says she's only seen Zavala in meetings. He doesn't come out anymore. Obviously, he's on the balcony when we see him in
the
tower.
Yeah.
But in the story, she doesn't see him that much anymore because he's secluded unless it's a meeting for the tower. And that's insane. Like, they used to be in D1. They used to be all next to each other. And I feel like they were really, connected. And now, they're not.
They're super spread apart. They're super distant. And it's the downside to, an MMO is you don't actually see what's going behind the scenes because it's not something that, you can witness it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's...
Yeah, they can't change everything every day for us.
Yeah, but it's walking by them, like you said, hearing that line, you're like, whoa, what's going on? Wait a second, what do you mean?
No, I don't know.
And Cade would do the same thing. You'd, walk by Cade. Well, actually, no. Cade just said random stuff.
Yeah, Cade just said random stuff, which you had to love. It was quirky.
Yeah, I loved it.
But move on from the Vanguard now. Public events. They nailed it with this expansion's public events. Absolutely. I think...
On Tangled Shore?
Yeah, on the Tangled Shore. Sorry, I should have... And even on the Dreaming City.
Well, yeah.
But let's talk about the Tangled Shore first, because that's, that's your first experience with them.
Yeah.
Now, what is your favorite public event?
From the Tangled Shore.
And I think we might have the same one. Yeah, I think we might have the exact same
one. I like the cryopod ones, but
yeah.
The cryopod one with the Fallen.
Okay, you like the Fallen one. My favorite is also the cryopod, but mine is the Forsaken cryopod, because I have never experienced a harder cryopod than that one in itself.
You mean the Scorn?
Yeah, sorry, the Scorn. You're good.
I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant.
Yeah, the Scorn. That cryopod was absolutely amazing. It was the most hard. It was so hard. And I feel like at that point, most people, when they're at that area, they know how to trigger the heroic event. I feel like during any of the other ones, they could be like, I don't really know how to trigger it.
For which ones? Like the ether ritual?
Just the Scorn. I think, like, the no, sorry, for the cryopods. Oh, I think people didn't know how to trigger it for a long time.
Oh, yeah, no. I ran in the first time. It was before you came on. It was like a few days before you hopped on, since I started a little earlier than you did. I was running around doing the public events because I was kind of avoiding the story so I could run it with you, and I would watch people do it, and I would sit there and kind of try to figure out what they're, and I didn't get it. I didn't even, like, my brain wasn't connecting, like, oh shoot, the little gas things that were coming out of the sides, or forget that. My brain wasn't doing those, like, what are they shooting at? Or what are they doing to him that's triggering the heroic? I couldn't figure it out. Could not figure it out.
Yeah. Actually, about that same thing, you know how even when you freeze him, he still damages you with the gas? If you shoot the last canister, the gas stops.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
What?
I recently found that out. Which, I mean, you're still learning new things. Which is crazy. Everyone, fun fact, shoot the gas canisters even when you trigger the cryo. Because then it'll stop. You could stand on the floor. But, you know, I think that's enough about the cryopods. The one I hate the most is the ether one, where you have to shoot them out of the air. Because it's so hard if you're doing it by yourself. It is so hard if you, like, I run with a hand cannon. Because I love hand cannons ever since Destiny 1. Like, the Thorn was my first exotic. And hand cannons are just my bread and butter. And it's so hard with a hand cannon. I don't have that many bullets. Bungie, please.
Yeah, no. I think the funny part was the first time I triggered that event, I didn't know how it was triggered. I didn't know who triggered it. I didn't know what they were doing. I remember sitting there going, yeah, cool. Wait, who triggered the heroic? And I was running around. I was just shooting things. I didn't understand what was going on. And I think when you came online, I was like, I think what we have to do is... And while you were running around shooting with one of the bosses, one of the chieftains, I shot one of the little ether orbs, and I was like, oh, you do damage to those!
Yeah, completely took me off guard. Like, that one, I don't think we triggered that one for a couple times, actually. It took us a couple of tries.
It took us three tries before we finally had, I think it was two other people with us that knew exactly what to do. And as soon as they spawned...
And I think even then, we still missed it a little.
We did, and
we
still triggered.
Yeah, it's still true. I don't think you have to get everyone of them. I think you have to get at least a majority of them.
Because I don't think you might be able to get all of them. But we missed a lot.
Yeah. So, we talked about the story, but the end game. We finally have an end game zone that's not the tower. We have the Dreaming City, which is one of the most beautiful places there is. And it's changing, and I know the cycle that it's going to be changing on is a 3-week cycle, so it's always going to be refreshing itself and going back to week 1 to week 2 to week 3 currently, but it's amazing, and I love how you only have one drop point.
Yeah,
there's only one landing zone.
It forces you to explore and remember the routes. Like yesterday, I'll talk about it a little more later on, but I was trying to get, there's a new exotic that was time gated until yesterday. And I tried to run over to try to just see where it was, see where to trigger the quest for it. And I forgot where it was because I hadn't been to the, I'd gone to that location one time to do one thing and I'd never gone back. So for all the exploring that I had to do, I had to remember what little cracks to take, what roads to take, what little steps to go up to get back to that place. So it forces you to explore, so that stuff does. You don't just land and take two steps sideways and you're there. You have to land and go and find it.
Yeah, no, that's really true. I like that, and I like how Petra is constantly on the move.
Yeah.
That's real nice. So the Dreaming City has been able to gear us a lot. You know, right now you're ahead of me. Yes, I'm at 530. One, 531 or 532. I think I just hit 532 last night.
Just hit 550. Like, not even an hour
ago. Wait, what did you hit? Sorry?
Just hit 550, not even an hour ago.
Yeah, so you're ahead of me without a doubt. Oh, wow, I'm jealous. You're 550. I've been really busy. But, no, you're definitely ahead. And the Dreaming City, there's so much to do now that I feel like I'm never going to get it done, you know? It's one of those things where it's like, oh, crud, how am I supposed to get all these weeklies, all these dailies done? It's stressful a little, and I love that.
It almost feels like you can't catch up, which I actually told one of the, or Taryn, while we were playing.
Yeah, Taryn's one of our friends. So we recently, I guess, a little preface right here. We got a bunch of our friends to play Destiny online with us. We're playing on the PC, and it's taken us a while. So it was just Juan and I playing for a while, and recently with Forsaken,
we finally convinced
everybody. Like 8 of our friends to join us, so now which is wonderful. We have a full our clan. If you guys do want to join, whatever, we're free to join. It's called Grimoire. It's for the podcast, so please join us if you don't have a clan. Yeah. We are more than welcome. We want to learn with you guys.
The majority of us, or at least Alex and I, will hop on with you. I know a lot of the our friends that are playing right now, they're just trying to catch up to me and to myself.
Yeah,
and Alex,
a lot of them are playing catch-ups.
we're kind of ahead of them right now. So they're trying, but if I'm online and I'm not running a quest, I'm not running something that's too out of the way, I would not mind, you know, doing the Blind Well, Escalation Protocol, a raid, strikes, whatever, I'll hop on. I don't mind.
Yeah. You just said something that I absolutely love. The Blind Well. That is so crazy. We I might have been a little low level when we went in there the first time.
A little bit.
I might have been maybe 515.
You were 515 when we walked in. And
you know, it might have been low, but we had this
blowing up. Oh, his name?
Yeah, we had, I forget his name, but we had a bunch of people, you know, and I like how it's not just squads. It's very much like Escalation Protocol, and
yeah.
I like that. But it's so much fun. It really, really is.
And it's cool that it's tied to the story, too. It's not just like, here's an event that's in the city that doesn't mean anything. It's just for you. No, it's
tied to the story. We're feeding Mara Sov.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. I wonder what's going to happen when she's full and, full. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not really.
I can't wait for you to see what I saw. I'll take you there later.
Yeah, I haven't been able to go. I've been working in schoolwork a lot, so I haven't been able to go this week, but supposedly it's completely different. Though it's really fun. I like how you get your seat alight that way, and it's just a great experience overall. The Blind Well gives you so much. I wish, you know, it gives you just right now basically the seat alight. I wish it gave us more gear and guns.
That's
something I want them to change.
I wish that the tier 3, because the tier 3, it's not that the tier 3 is hard, because it's not terribly difficult. It is hard, it's just not as hard as I made it feel or seem the first time I tried it.
You need people.
You need people there. But it's not hard to complete. I wish that one, though, dropped powerful gear. Like, at least once a week. Because...
Or at least a heroic version of it dropped powerful gear.
Exactly. Something, just because it felt... Like, once we finished it, we got to see the light from the first one, then we finished tier 3, and I was like, cool, I got a tincture of Queen's Foil, and that was all I got.
Yeah, I got a tincture, and I was like, okay, cool. The tinctures, though,
it's really cool.
Doing the Ascendant Challenge each week is so much fun.
It is. I haven't done this week's. I've been waiting for you to get on so I can run it with you, because I don't...
Yeah, we need to do it.
I know where it is. I know where to find it now. But it's platforming.
It's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. No, without a doubt. And talking about just gearing up in general, the raid chest, like the wish, that's something they've never done before.
The wishing wall,
and then the wishing wall. That's crazy. It's really time consuming, and honestly, I kind of lose the patience for it half the time. You know, I have Juan shoot the things for me most of it because I just can't. I can't. Like, it's too much for me.
I have them saved on my computer. I found the images that people did, and no, it is really, really, really tedious. Like, I did it alone.
Yeah, no, it's confusing.
I did it alone before you guys came online, so I could get the emblem and then get to the chest. And I sat there and I was like, okay, well.
Yeah, when I got online last night, obviously last night was raid week reset, and I saw that and I was like, geez, what is that emblem on? Yeah. What are you doing? And I was a little annoyed. I thought he did it without me.
No.
So I think for our friends right now, I haven't looked up any of the guide for The Last Wish.
I've seen.
And I don't think Juan has either.
I've seen the bosses. I've seen what they look like because I really wanted to see what Riven looked like.
Oh, I haven't even done that.
Yeah, I know what she looks like. And that's the only reason I did it is because of what she is. I was like, oh, I need to see it. I need to see what she looks like.
Her being Ahamkara is amazing. Yeah. Like, they've been hinted at for so much in the lore. And I think between the two of us, I'm definitely the lore nerd here.
Yeah,
I just
know.
Go super hardcore.
Yeah, I know
and
enough to
an
get
And Ahamkara is so cool. But, yeah, no, so I think what we want to do with our team right now is we're getting them geared up. Hopefully we can enter The Last Wish next week, or maybe at the end of this week, and at least do the first boss. But I want to do it blind, because that's how I did Volta Glass when it first came out, and, you know, Crota. Crota had a lot of cheese, but I like doing all my raids blind at least the first time, because...
It's fun trying to figure it out.
It's fun, especially when you're with a group of friends. It's so much fun trying to figure out what you're doing.
And I think we have some decent... At least, like, Taryn is... She was all for it and willing to try to wait, and cause we when we ran the Leviathan...
Yeah, when we did the Leviathan, we did it with three randoms and one of our other friends, and...
And she was...
It just wasn't...
It wasn't working. It wasn't working at all. And, we couldn't figure it out. We knew what we were doing, because we looked it up. But we couldn't figure out what we were doing wrong. And it took a few dozen tries, but Taryn was all for it. It didn't matter how many times we messed up. She was the same way you and I were. We were like, yep, let's just keep trying until we figure it out.
Yeah. So that's basically on that same note, where we're doing the... You know, they none of them have experienced any of the raids because they just started playing in Destiny 2. So we're doing the Leviathan raid, like you're saying. And it's so much fun. It's, you know, a lot of it's here and there, and we haven't completed it yet because we went to bed. I started feeling sick.
Yeah.
But we did a lot of it, and we got down to the mechanics, and it was so fun seeing all of our friends who had never played a game that had raids in it before. And they started to learn the mechanics and do the call-outs. That's such a beautiful thing.
What was funny, too, was the fact that while I had the little guide open on my phone next to me, just to know what we were, like, the gist of it, I didn't actually look at it. Not once. I looked at it towards the end when the scions kept killing us. I was like,
yeah,
why are they killing us? Why are they killing us? Why are they killing us? Like, we were doing everything right. And then that's when I opened my phone up and I was like, okay, where? Oh, they're supposed to punch him. Oh, I get it now. Okay. But
yeah, when we're talking about the science at the race part, like, you know, the track, just to make everyone know where we are.
Yeah, so it's the first.
It's called the Gauntlet.
The Gauntlet. That's what it was called.
Bubble Boys. Got to kill the
Bubble
Boys. Definitely calling them Bubble Boys from now on.
That actually was super helpful because while we were running, I'd go, "Don't forget your Bubble Boy," like halfway
through
the run. Yeah,
every time. You know, Juan and I were the Gauntlet runners, and every time we passed the checkpoint, we're like, "Bubble Boy, Bubble Boy," and of course, they ran down and got their Bubble Boy and then ran back up. But it was a ton of fun.
It easily took, like, 12. That was, like, the 12th run before we finally were like, well, we're done. Like, everyone was tired. And, it was not that it was hard, because it's not hard. It's just we didn't
I think
know
it's
we
just learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, we had to use a lot of our brain power, and afterwards we didn't have enough to be able to use the keyboard and mouse, you know.
We were all...
But...
It was great.
So, you know, let's talk about week reset. So yesterday, the week reset, and so we saw that Iron Banner went away. What did you feel about Iron Banner this like time?
I liked it, and I'm really sad because I didn't realize that two of the quests for it gave you powerful gear.
Yeah, I did those ones. You did
yeah,
not.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I was a kill away from both of them, and I didn't
realize
it. Oh, that's
very depressing.
And it went away yesterday, and while I was sitting looking at the inventory, I was like, oh.
Dang it.
That's great.
Yeah, what's it called? No, I really liked Iron Banner. Iron Banner would only give me the same level gear, so it was kind of annoying. But even if it only gave me the same level gear, as I said, I love hand cannons, and they gave me so many hand cannon perks, so I just kept infusing my gear for a long time.
Oh, yeah, all the armor you got was all hand cannon-based. Mine wasn't.
Yeah, it was all, like, hand cannon, like, aiming, stability, and it was wonderful. I also got the pulse rifle from it.
Yeah.
I think it was called something Wolves or something, and it was wonderful. I love that pulse rifle.
Yeah. I'm trying to get the pulse rifle from the Dreaming City.
From I got that one yesterday.
Yeah.
The raid, right?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I got that one.
Oh, not that one. The one from the Dreaming City. I don't know what it's called. I think it's called Vouch Safe. I don't actually know. I like pulse rifles better than auto rifles. Auto rifles fire more. Pulse rifles have better aim or better stability sometimes. At least
yeah.
The Vigilance Wing is the one I've been using.
The Vigilance Wing is something else, so that's yeah. That's a gun.
That's a, yeah, no.
That's something else.
So I've been trying to get that one a lot, but you farmed all the Iron Banner. I kind of gave up after I got all the armor pieces for it, and then I kind of just gave up. I was like, okay, screw it. I don't need it anymore.
Yeah, no, I definitely like the theme. I definitely look like a samurai, and I loved it. I was running around, and around the time when Iron Banner started is when our friends, like, installed the game, so I'd pick them up from launch, and I'd be like, I am samurai. And, you know, I just had a great time. It was a wonderful time.
I just look like a
bug. But the Dreaming City has so much to offer us, though, and that's wonderful. Like, we can keep going back.
Yeah, and yesterday's weekly reset basically showed the culmination of all the corruption, and it scared the bejesus out of me when I walked in.
Yeah, you very much are a scared player whenever you play games.
I am. I'm jumpy, and it's just how I am. But like when I poured it in and I landed it, first off, Petra wasn't there. She's like across the map now on the like top side of the Dreaming City.
Yeah.
And so I landed and I was like, oh, I have to get to her, and I didn't notice the floating orbs of death above the city.
Yeah, that's something, isn't it?
And I was like, oh my god. And that's when I sent you a message. I was like, everything's screwed. Everything's destroyed.
Yeah, I'm at work and you say, Alex, I need help. I'm like, I can't do anything.
It was cool. Just to see the culmination of it. And again, you haven't seen what I saw. So later, when I take you there, ooh.
All right. You heard it here first, guys. It's going to take me somewhere.
This would be great.
But, no, so let's talk about a gun that we both have now, a gun that you love mainly because of its owner previous to, and I love because it's a handgun that's beautiful. The Ace of Spades. The entire quest line, what did you think of the quest line in general? Not just the finish thing, but the entire way to get it.
So it's unique because it's being coded to your hand almost. It's like the quest line is basically to make it so the gun works for you. And it makes sense, because if you watch Cade, if you go back and watch, I mean, that's probably true, but Cade is supposed to be this, like, sharpshooter, gunslinger, who's incredibly strong, incredibly quick. And if you go back and watch the Forsaken video where he fights in the ring, the Scorn.
Yeah, he fights all the Scorn.
The majority of those shots are, like, on point, like, they're headshots. And I know that's such a stupid, like, it's like, oh, of course they're headshots. They're gonna, but if you go back and watch it, a majority of them are headshots.
Yeah, he definitely was very accurate in the gun, and I think that's why you had to get so many precision kills.
Exactly. I think that's why. It makes
the
sense.
First step of the chain, they changed it.
They did
change. It's no longer just getting invader kills. You can also invade and get kills, which is honestly a huge boon. Like, I've done it twice already. One, you've done it once.
Yeah.
And if I was able to just invade, I'm the invader when we play Gambit with our friends, and not to be arrogant, but I consistently do pretty well and get a couple kills.
You've gotten easily the last two or three times we've played, you've gone in multiple times in one game and killed all four people. That's not really being arrogant, it happens.
But, I mean, that is with the Ace of Spades, though, so let's, you know, Ace of Spades is a great gun, it's not just me, yeah. But I think it would have been so much easier, and for those people that are doing it now, like, you have a great time doing it because you can do whatever way it makes you more comfortable, because I didn't like just sitting back and waiting for them to invade, and sometimes they wouldn't even invade me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that was I think the first we ran Gambit to try to get it, and I got the first lucky kill on him on the invader, and then like a game down the line I got another just lucky kill, and I was like, yeah, that's great. And then I waited like 2 days because you weren't able to get online, so I waited and I hopped into Gambit by myself a few days, like I think the day before you came online, and I got a lucky kill. The game ended, and when the round ends, you can still kind of move around for a second or two.
And oh yeah, you told me about this.
The invader just stopped in front of me, and I was like, "Was this gonna work?" And I killed him, and it counted. And then the one after that was, again, just a lucky kill. It was, honestly, it was never me intentionally chasing after him to try to get the kill. It was me hoping to God that I didn't get killed by him first and happened to hit him at the last second.
Hey, I don't know. Luck is an important skill. I mean, I bet Cade would say the same thing. Like, hey, you got lucky there. That's all you.
That's true. That is very true. But
like, you took advantage of the situation, and I think that's a good thing. I don't think that's a problem.
Out of all the quest ups, though, I think that one was the most annoying.
Oh, that without a doubt. I think I did the headshot one. I did in like 3 games. That one wasn't complicated at all.
You did it in 3 games after messing one up. You technically did it in 2.
Yeah, I had to switch settings.
Technically, you did it in 2.
It was fun. I would suggest anyone on that step, which I guarantee most people at this point have it if they want it, go and rumble. Unless you're with a party, go and rumble.
Yeah, it's quicker, it's easier. We did quick play just because it was the two of us.
Yeah, on the second character I did rumble, and wow.
Yeah, it's a lot quicker. If you can, this is just kind of luck of the draw RNG aspect, but to do that precision headshot thing, the Crimson is literally your best
friend.
You
have a big thing for the Crimson right now.
I do, just because I like it. I like hand cannons and I like pulse rifles, and they mush them into one gun.
I wish it was more like the Red Death, and I know it is supposed to be the successor of the Red Death, but for some reason when I shoot it, it doesn't feel the same to me. And I might be have like a rose-colored glasses on right now, rose-tinted glasses on for the Red Death, but it's not the same for me right now, which I think is why I don't use it. But, you know, so, once you complete all these steps and you do these kills, you have to do a special mission for Cade. And I'm just going to quickly note on this, and, you know, let's talk about it for a little. So we go into this quest. We land on Titan.
Yeah.
And in it, we go to the quest that Cade's complaining about. He's like, I want a tank. And that was such a cute moment, because when I landed, I was like, Juan and I were in a call together. Most of our Discord Destiny experiences together online. And we're talking, and I'm just like, wow, this is where Cade was like, I want a tank.
It's like deep in the ecology. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're doing this thing, and we're going backtracking, and we see these chests. And when you activate a chest, you hear a voice line that he recorded for who he assumes killed him, or otherwise just, you know, information.
So he goes through this whole, like, I think there's 10 chests, and each one has a different voice recording of Cade congratulating his supposed killer. Funny enough, he gets the right one a little halfway through the messages. You're like, oh, he knew.
Yeah, he knew that, what's his name, the freaking Aldrin Soft.
Yeah.
Basically killed him. I mean, not in the same way, but
he
did.
Yeah,
call
one
him
of the
some aspects.
Yeah, one of the the messages is, I think it's the message to Petra.
It is the message to Petra.
He mentions like, oh, if you're hearing this, you probably died because of something you did, but it's okay. And then he goes on to mention Marisov and Uldren, and they're like, oh wow, he literally knew. He knew this was gonna happen.
You just did something so perfect right there, in that you led us perfectly to the point I wanted to bring up. At the end, he tells Petra, oh, and tell Paladin Oran something. And in the line, if you read the first letter of each sentence, that of each word he says, it's on Encladius, whatever, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah,
I'm probably not correct. But that is a moon on Saturn. I did some research because I'm a huge nerd. Alright, it's a moon on Saturn. And the following message you see is about the Deep Stone Crypt, the people who made him. So what I am assuming, as an Exo, this got me bugging out. Like, I was crazy. I was like, 1-1-1, Exo news. But I'm almost positive that he is going to be, like, Paladin Oran is going to be a huge thing on the next chat, in the next
expansion.
And it's going to be on Encladius, and it's going to be dealing with the Deep Stone Crypt. And what I mean by that is, I think we're going to learn more about Exos. I think it's their time. And if you look at it, the robotic races of Destiny right now are not doing too hot. We lost Cade.
Yeah, we lost
Failsafe Cade. Is losing her, like, losing herself, you know. She's finally breaking down after all this time.
Zavala's
Well, Zavala's not a robot.
Oh, though. Well, you're right. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about, like, character in general. You're right, though. No, I'm sorry. I apologize.
I don't care. I don't care about the flesh. I only care about the robots right now. And then if we look at Banshee, Banshee 44 is losing his memory. His
memory, that's right.
When he hands you the Ace of Spades, he goes, "Hey, have you seen Cade lately?" And that hurt. I'm not sure if that's a random line, but I got it when I collected it, and man, did I hurt.
Because it was like what do you mean, have I seen Cade? It was one of those, like, but you know he's dead. And he doesn't he mention, like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he does mention it, but then again, when you have memory loss, you don't remember that you said something. Yeah. You know what I mean? He might have, like, short-term or long-term. We don't really know at this point, because whatever. But it's crazy that it really did happen that way. And it's really sad. It hurts, but it happens. You know, he's been around forever, and Exos, you know, they can't be repaired anymore. They can't come back. The only reason that Guardian Exos can is because they have the light.
Yep.
But if Banshee dies, he's dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Any XO we see, they're dead if they're dead. And that sucks. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, that's death. And I guess something we learned with Cade's death is that even if you're a Guardian, you know, we see there's banners across the tower for him. And it's something that people really do. Like, death still impacts Guardians, you know?
Because Guardians while Cade was,
die. Yeah, Guardians still are affected by death. And when it happens, while it might be rare, they mourn.
Yeah.
Even if you're non-Guardian or Guardian alike, you know, afterwards you have missions you can go all around on the galaxy for. You can talk to, you know, on EDZ, on IO, and it's sad.
And it's not normal for a Guardian to be killed, or outright killed. I mean, and there are ways to do it. You know, kill their ghost, take the light out of them. You know, there's actually a mission that you do on Titan. There's a strike that meant there's a set of Guardians that go down into.
Oh yeah, in the beginning, in the first game, yeah. In the beginning of the game.
And they get turned into, like, these crystals, and they die. They take their light and they make them into these crystals. So Guardians can't.
Well, at
die.
That point, they didn't have their light.
No. Oh, you haven't done it. It's a strike.
I think no. They didn't have their light at that point. I think. Oh, was it after we got the light back?
Yeah.
Really.
It's a strike.
Okay, I thought it was before we got.
No, I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They go down, they got slaughtered, but they.
Okay.
There's a strike that you fight, like, this massive shrieker at the end of it all.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
And while you're going down, you're speaking to this, like, group of guardians.
No, okay, that was actually a good strike. I think that was the first strike I did when I played Destiny 2 on
these crystals, PS4. The so there are ways to kill guardians. That
was a fun strike.
You know, other than just killing their ghosts, like what happened to Cade.
Yeah, they also, like, it was weird. Definitely weird.
This is the first time, because they didn't really do this, at least not that I can recall, in the first Destiny. They didn't really.
Well, we found ghosts.
We did.
So.
But they never.
When they're dead.
They never played into the story. It was never as impactful as, like, losing Cade.
Well, I don't think it could have been as impactful, because we've been built. Cade's been built up since the Taken King, really.
That's true.
As the main person we talk to.
Your best buddy.
He's, you know, you're his partner. You're on his, like, basically, you're who he goes with. And that's something we hadn't had otherwise. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I have to say that overall, the Ace of Spades questline, obviously, we're still talking about that. We went on a huge tangent, but it was a great storyline that we had. Like you said earlier, what was that gun called?
Which one? The Crimson?
No, not the Crimson. One just dropped. You have to go to Gambit.
Oh, the Malphesians? Oh my god.
The Malphesian. Yes, I want that gun. And when you first told me about the gun, I thought it was going to be exactly like the Thorn. And I was so hyped, because that was my first exotic ever. But it wasn't. And although I'm still pretty hype about it, I definitely want to complete it. It looks fun, and it looks like it's going to be pretty good for bosses, because if there's any AoE that you need to do.
Yeah. You hit them once, and if I'm not mistaken, it just
pops.
We
have to hit them five times. No, you hit them five times, and it pops in an area.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
It's still a really cool gun. Cool.
It is a cool gun, no, without a doubt. And it looks like it's like a super Firefly, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like that.
The quest line's just super. To trigger it is
Yeah, you have to get the meatball.
Yeah, yes.
Get the meatball.
The Taken meatball. So, for you guys, for those who don't know, the quest line to trigger the Malfeasance is done through Gambit, and it spawns at random. But at some point, when you summon a Primeval, it'll summon the corrupted Taken servitor, the same thing that the Voice of Ruin was at the end of the game. It'll summon one of those as the Primeval. When that gets summoned, kill it. Whatever you do, just kill it. Forget everything else. Start, just blow it up. Because once it's up there, once you kill it, it'll drop the exotic quest item. And that's what begins your exotic. That's what begins the quest to get the Malfeasians. I haven't looked at all of the other steps, because I know someone found it yesterday. Someone at the end of the day, like towards like close to 11:30, I was like, oh look, someone finished the entire quest line. They got it.
Yeah, they posted on Reddit yesterday.
And I didn't really look at all of them, but it involves a lot of killing a lot of Taken, doing a lot of Gambit, doing a lot of talking to the Drifter in between everything.
Yeah, I know that. I know that at one point you have to deposit motes, but you have to deposit more than you lose. If you die with motes, you lose twice that amount, which is crazy. Like if you die with 15 motes, you lose 30%. Like you lose 30 points on your exotic quest.
It's hard. It's not a hard. Okay, it's hard, but not impossible. It's just tedious.
Tedious. Yeah.
It's one of those things that you can absolutely do without an issue. It's just gonna take a long time.
It's the main thing I think is gonna be having it drop for you.
Yeah.
Exactly. And when it does, when you do see the Taken meatball, the Voice of Riven esque item, like a boss, you need to kill it. If you don't kill it, and if you lose, it won't drop the exotic quest. You have to win that round.
Another exotic that dropped yesterday, which I tried to get, which is where I want to take you later, but I'll talk about it a little bit because it was fun. Is the Wishender bow.
Yes.
It's a primary bow that the longer you hold it back, and it does take a little bit to pull back all the way, it does insane damage. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the one that hit when you hit an enemy, it goes through them and splits. I could be wrong.
Oh, okay, yes. That's the one that I think I know you're talking about now.
But it is... people were kind of guessing that it was at the end of the week three of the Dreaming City's corruption, and they were right. They were 100% correct, because that's when it showed up. The way you get it is really unique, and it's really cool, because you've had the quest item in your inventory since Forsaken came out. It's the talisman that you used to get in the Dreaming City.
No way! Okay, that's spoilers for me. Keep going, please. Oh my god, I love this.
So, the way you get it is, beneath the Blind Well is the Confluence, which I mentioned to you the other day, that is supposedly where Marasov's throne world was located. Mm-hmm. If you go into the Ascendant Plane, remember how I took you to get the tincture off that?
Yeah, the tincture. Right?
If you go into the Ascendant Plane and you go to the Confluence, there is a gigantic Taken portal just swirling in the back of it. And in front of it is the Tekken. And when you walk up to it, it initiates a quest called the Shattered Throne. It is minimum light. The recommended light level is 570. I went in there yesterday at 549. It's ridiculously hard. You basically go into... I haven't done it because I had to stop because I ran out of ammo. And the really cheesy method that I was trying to do yesterday ended up backfiring really hard, which I'll explain what I did. But basically, you go through this Taken Dreaming City, and it's shattered and it's destroyed. And I don't know if that's Marasov's throne world, but if it is, the thing is massive. It's humongous, and it's insane.
Well, we're increasing it all the time with the Well of Light.
That's true. That is true. Then maybe that's why it's so big. But the really interesting part is that the way to get the Wishender bow is you get to the first section, and your mission is just to find safe passage. And the way you do it is you kill a number of bosses that spawn. So the initial one is a Taken Knight that's just right in front of you, so you see him. And yesterday when I went in there with Terran, whose light level is 513, She didn't check the light level of the mission. She just accepted it because she was the fire team leader. And we couldn't check it afterwards. So we're running through and we get there and I start shooting. I'm like, oh, I do damage to them. She goes, I just see question marks. I don't think I can hurt them.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, oh, no.
They're immune.
So she jumps forward and a vandal hit her. Like a vandal. Like something that's not that strong. And it killed her. It tapped her and it killed her. And she was like, oh, no. And I was like, okay, we can't do this. And she's like, no. I want that bow. I was like, okay. I can try to do this on my own. And what I ended up doing was I would sit back really far away and I would snipe them until I ran out of ammo and I would only hit the knight with it. And I would wait. She was using the Well of Radiance, so she would super on top of me and I'd get some of my super energy back. So the way I did it the first time was really bad, but it worked. Is I had my super and I just shot the adds, the normal ones around him, and I emptied my sniper on him, emptied all the heavy ammo on him, and there was heavy and special ammo all around him because of what I killed, and I booked it towards him, supered, got behind him and hid in a corner, and I would just rinse repeat. I ended up killing three of the bosses by myself. There's four
we
of them.
We might be able to try it tonight and do it.
It's really hard.
I think me and you could probably do it. But no, that sounds fun, actually. I have the ornament for it, and I think most people do probably by this point in time.
Yeah. So basically, the quest is, from my understanding, I've seen a bit of it, more of it, but it's pretty long and tedious. But you get through those first bosses, then you proceed further into the Shattered Throne. You finish the quest line, but halfway through it, I think it's in between the final boss and the other stuff that you just did, there's a statue of the person. I don't know how to pronounce your name. It's S-J-U-R. It's her bow. That's the Wishender, is her bow. And you talk to it, the talisman disappears out of your inventory. And then you finish everything, and then it's a secret quest. Remember that room you found on the Tangled Shore? You were like, I've never seen this room before.
Oh, is that important?
That's where the quest is.
That's funny. Okay. I stumbled across that room the other day in the Tangled Shore. It's by Forhorn Gulch. And,
yep.
And that's funny.
You sat there and you were like, I don't know what this is. Like, yeah, I don't know either. And that's where the quest is. But then you go in there, you get these dreaming tokens, and then you go back to the Shattered Throne and you beat three more bosses. You'd have to charge these dreaming tokens that you get. But once all three are charged, you go back to the statue, you talk to it, it takes them, you get the Wishender Bow. Something really cool about the Wishender Bow is, you haven't seen it, because I didn't actually know about it until this morning, there's these eggs, taken eggs that are spawning all around the Dreaming City. The Wishender Bow is the only way to break them.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's something I want to do. I'll hopefully get it done by before we talk again next week.
Yeah.
So I think we've talked a lot already, and, you know, hopefully, at this point, you know, if you guys did like the podcast, if anyone actually listens to it, welcome. We've rambled on a lot, yeah. And I hope you enjoyed our ramblings. But send us emails. Our email is at grimoirepod@gmail.com, or you can just go to our Twitter, which is the exact same handle, grimoirepod@gmail.com.
And you should be able to find both my Twitter and Alex's.
Yeah, you can find both of our individual Twitters in the description on the Twitter. Yeah. As well as just please listen, comment, join our Discord. That's also on our Twitter, I believe. And come talk to us. We're going to have a great time, and we want to build a community around this. And I know there's a bunch of communities already, and if you're already a part of it, please stay in that community. But we do want to talk, and just come over and say hello. Like, if you have any questions, any things that you think that we should do, please talk to us. I really love this game, and I know Juan does too. Hopefully you can get that by our discussion this week. But man, this game, as people keep saying online, anywhere you go, the hobby is back. You want to get on. You want to grind. You want to see what's next. There's so much to do, and hopefully you come along and do some of it with us.
Yeah, no, it'd be nice to have more.
Yeah, more of the merrier, like as Juan was saying.
So, I appreciate if you guys, you know, come along. It's fun.
All right, well, thanks for listening, guys. I guess that's me, episode 1 of Grimoire, a Destiny podcast. Have a good week, and see you next time, Guardians.
Have a good week, guys.